Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello, Tina. Hello, Wednesday is a Glasgow Rangers fan show at the moved time, 10:30 to 11, because we just can't miss on catching up with Glasgow Rangers and everything in what is going on in this crazy, mad Scottish Premiership race. Well, the man who is at the heart of it is David Edgar, and he is the Heart and Hand podcast. Please find him at Ibrox Rocks. David, obviously, you know where the story is going to. We want to talk about the weekend. Hearts, we kind of maybe said as much last week, but Rangers were in action tonight. It was Ross Canty, 2-0, back to business, bouncing back. What did you make of it?
One, it was horrendously cold, and Charlie, I genuinely have, I feel like a human ice pole at this point, but the conditions did play a part because it was incredibly windy, to the point where when we were all walking back to our car after the match, you know that way where you've got to put your head down and almost force yourself into a headlong wind, so God knows what it was like trying to pass a ball in it. Rangers, again, you know, a little bit flat, a little bit sluggish, which has been the story of our January. A few players that aren't in good form. However, we did pick up as the game went on, and I thought we were getting better in the second half. And again, I'm going to sound like a broken record here, mate, but Jermaine Defoe. A lot of people speak about Jermaine Defoe, and they'll say, Charlie, that, well, he doesn't do as much as Alfredo does, which is true, and that he doesn't suit our style of play as well as Alfredo does, which is also true. However, in terms of goal scoring, what a backup player he is. And tonight, he didn't even get a chance. It wasn't a chance. It was a loose ball in the box that drops him. He's got his back to goal, a defender behind him, and he spins, shoots, and into the back of the net, all in one movement. Just terrific. And then, of course, unfortunately, in the second half, though, he pulled up with what looked a serious injury. He was stretchered off. But luckily, Steven Gerrard had said afterwards that it doesn't look as bad as first feared, and that he might only be out for maybe 2 to 4 weeks. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not Rangers decide to go into the market for someone as an extra backup player there. But Jermaine Defoe set the tone, got it started, and then played a part in the second goal. Terrific move from Rangers. He played a delightful little backheel ball through to Scott Arfield, who was excellent tonight, and Scott Arfield put it away for 2-0. So, not a great performance, really. It was uneven, a lot of misplaced passes, but I do cut them some slack because of the conditions, and we'll take the win and we'll move on. But I think that there is a feeling of, right, you've been very slow back. It's time to really start stepping up and finding your form again, lads.
Yeah, it is slow back, and maybe there's a few reasons to this. We obviously spoke about earlier when they went on their warm weather training camp, and Gerrard saying that a few of those players, they didn't really take their chances. If anything, they pushed it further away. We thought that was the fringe players, but maybe too much time off. Sometimes we can see this. They come back a little bit rusty, not full sharpness, and then it does take them a little bit. But when you're going head-to-head, toe-to-toe, you don't have that time to sort of ease your way back into it. You have to fire on all cylinders very, very quickly. But just on tonight still, Defoe is getting a run in the side at the minute. It feels like more at the minute. And like you said, he's a man that doesn't need a chance. He just knows where the net is. Why is he getting a little run in the side at the minute? He's someone that Rangers can lean on in that veteran experience.
Yeah, well, Morelos' suspension after being sent off at Parkhead played into, I think he would always have played against Renard anyway in the cup, but then he's been needed the last few games. And look, I don't think that Jermaine Defoe at this stage of his career is supposed to be playing 4 games in 2 weeks. You know, I think the manager would admit that himself, and who knows if that played a part in the injury tonight. But Alfredo Morelos is so important to Rangers, Charlie, because he's a link-up player. He bulldozes defence. He can hit the ball long to him and he'll hold it up. He's got all those qualities. And Jermaine Defoe is a different type of player. He's not someone who is going to do that. He's more about movement, more about a chance. But while he doesn't have the all-round game that Morelos has, he's scored 3 goals in 4 games. And not many strikers do have the all-round game that Morelos has got. So there's always going to be a change when you go to your backup player. That's guaranteed. But if you've got someone who's so reliably consistent in front of goal, and like I say, you know, 3 in 4 matches, the only game he hasn't scored in was against Hearts when the whole team collectively were rotten. So I think that he's playing such an important role this season, and Ibrox was, you know, collectively holding its breath when he went off. I think we were all worried that it looked like maybe being a genuinely very serious injury, but luckily by the sounds of it, it's not too bad. Because he will have a part to play. Put it this way, Charlie, that see if he has out for like 2 to 4 weeks, right? Then I'm guaranteeing you that he'll score between 20 and 25 goals this season off the bench, playing irregularly. That's outstanding. That's incredible. And it's just because the guy's just a top finisher. And tonight, again, last week he got the winner against St Mirren. Today he's got a goal and an assist that helped. You know, that's 6 points. And come the end of the season, if we have gone on and done what we want to do and win the title, then he's played a massive part in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we know with Jermaine Defoe's contribution. Let's talk about the weekend, David. We have to get into it. We said last week that Hearts is always a tough game. When you go to these places and you face these teams, they always, when playing Rangers, they find that extra 10%, 20%. You know, there's more fans in the stand. They're up for it. They know what it means. It's no disrespect to Hearts, but these are massive games in the season. It was a little bit difficult earlier on in the season when you last played there. It was 1-1. Again, it wasn't to be. It was Stevie G's 100th game and an unhappy 100th for him. What are you making of it? He had harsh words. Are you agreeing?
Yeah, you've got to. Rangers were really bad at the weekend. The thing that was most annoying, Charlie, was Hearts wanted it more. And that is a bad thing for any football fan to admit about your team. They worked harder than we did, they battled harder than we did, and they had more desire than we did. And that, I think, is what football fans always, any club, find tough to take. Rangers looked spooked right from the off and looked almost surprised at the type of game they were in. And as you mentioned, there's no excuse for that. The manager had been speaking about it throughout the week. The players had been speaking about it throughout the week. And they had experience of it a couple of months before. Mm. The passing was dreadful. The manager said afterwards we were carrying 7 or 8 passengers. And he was spot on there. There were guys who were just, not only were they not contributing, but they were a positive detriment to the side. And even at that, though, even as badly as we played and we were rotten, we took the lead. You've got to see it out. And if you can't see it out, then you've got to make sure that you at least don't lose and you get away with a point. And we did neither of those. And it was a real slap in the face. And I think that it definitely did make people maybe reconsider about, you know, the strength of the squad and whatnot, and there have been more calls for transfers to come in, and Rangers look to do a bit of business now, I believe. But it was, I think you might well have seen the end of you know, at least one Rangers career, John Flanagan. I would be stunned if we saw him again, to the point where his replacement, Matt Polster, he came on. He was one of the players that had been told he could go. But he played well, one of the few who played well at Tynecastle. He got a start tonight, he played well again. So, you know, whole careers might have turned on that match, you never know. Somebody who was going to be leaving might well be staying, and somebody who is looking to get a new deal in John Flanagan might well be going. So it could be that pivotal a game, but there's two ways you go after a performance like that, because there was nothing good about it, really. There was nothing to recommend it at all. There's two ways you can go. One is you can go in a bad run, which Rangers did this time last year. Or two, you can take it as a wake-up call to say, you're not as good as you think you are. You maybe let a wee bit of the praise, which they did deserve, but the praise from the win at Parkhead go to your head. And now what you need to do is refocus. This Rangers team is a really good team, Charlie, but they're not good enough to coast. They're not good enough to go and win matches at 70%, especially, as you say, where it's, you know, a big, proud club like Hearts who want to, you know, go out and show something, who've got a new manager to try and impress. All that said, Hearts are bottom of the league for a reason. They hadn't won in 7 games. It's a poor result, and there can't be any excuses or any mitigation for it. They've got back on the horse tonight with a victory. They've got Aberdeen on Saturday. Keep it going and improve and build on. And hopefully, come the end of the season, if we look back to that game at all, it will be, that was the one that with the cold water on the face that woke us all up for the last 4 months of the season.
Yeah, obviously, you wasn't pleased with the performance. No one from a Rangers perspective was. But obviously, Gerrard didn't pull no punches. He said, look, we've blinked big time here and we've handed the title initiative over to the side. When he was so scathing in that assessment, and we know he's very honest, he's brutal, he's transparent, do you think that sometimes maybe the emotion is overspilling, David? Or like, look, let's not dress it up. This is what it is. We can't sugarcoat it. And the boys have got to do much, much better.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter that the chap who does the Celtic show on here saying that he thought Neil Lennon was a lot calmer than Steven Gerrard. And I can only presume then that when this guy, watches Jaws at the end, he thinks that the fish was unlucky. it's just nonsense, Celtic are a basket case of a club. We've spent 4 weeks in utter meltdown because they lost one game of football. Yeah, we were upset and raging, but it's done now, we had the post-mortem, it's done, we played tonight, boom, we move on. I think Gerrard is very honest, but I think part of that is these players respond to him. I think that because of that, I think he has the authority. But the idea of Steven Gerrard being over-emotional is just such utter BS. And it comes down basically to the fact that he celebrated that win in a way that they didn't like. But to be quite honest, there's nothing they liked about that day, and nor should they. They got gubbed in their own backyard. Rangers will move on now. And look, who knows, the rest of the year, we might be good enough, we might not be. Time will tell. I think we can be, I hope we are, but time will tell. But it won't be because Steven Gerrard's over-emotional. I'm not sure Steven Gerrard got over-emotional at the birth of his children. I'm not sure he has it in him. To be honest, the guy has a remarkable sense of occasion and decorum and behaviour, and those are not phrases we associate with a club from the east end of Glasgow, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Sometimes it's very hard to even read what Gerrard's thinking, but a lot of not just stuff you've heard on here, David, in the media, and that's saying, oh, this is similar to what happened last year. Rangers went toe-to-toe. Now we come into the new year after the winter break. Are we seeing them fold? Are we seeing them fade away? And you rightly have said, it is one game. Let's see what happens. Celtic may blink yet, but everyone likes to make a quick headline and a story, and that is now maybe the perception of Rangers at the minute. Everyone's maybe watching them a little bit closer, going, this is where they fade.
Well, yeah, and to be honest, you can't really argue strongly back against it because they're right. If they say, but last year this happened, then they're absolutely right. The only way that the players, if they don't like that, is to prove them wrong, to make sure that it was a blip and it was just a one-off poor performance. And if they do that and they respond in the right way, then it changes and it flips the script. But look, there's no doubt this time last year that is what happened. We came back from the winter break, Celtic got stronger and Rangers got weaker. And by the time Rangers recovered, it was too late, the league had gone. So that is the key difference. If Rangers want to make this a difference, if they want to change the script, if they want to flip it all round, then the key thing is to react. What I will say is that January was disastrous for us last year. This year it hasn't been perfect. We've dropped 3 points that we wish we hadn't. But equally, we have won 3 of the 4 games. All right, not maybe playing fantastic football. But I do think there's more resilience and more mental strength to this Rangers team, Charlie, than they maybe previously had. But it's a legitimate criticism for people who are looking to find reasons to have a go at Rangers, then saying, well, you did this last year and Hearts proves you're going to do it again. It's a fair point. They're using history in their argument. What Rangers have to do is give us something where we can say, but look, after the Hearts game, we went on a 6, 7, 8 game run. That's what they need to do. And if they do that, then hopefully we'll have a different end to this season.
Yeah, well, we know the media will obviously say what they'll say and make their own headlines. But, you know, inside the Rangers bubble for us, you know, we just have to keep going about the business, the professionalism. And obviously, like Gary McAllister said, still trust in what we're doing. But when there is a young side and younger players and maybe they hear the noise, we don't know if it's white noise to them, they hear that outside perception of folding. How key is it for them to just keep on that straight line and believe in the process and the project?
Yeah, I think that this will be the mark of whether or not we're strong enough to be champions, because one of the things that disappointed me at the weekend, Charlie, wasn't that Rangers, you know, didn't play well and play bad. People speak about bravery on a football field, and a lot of the time we, because we're British, we take it to mean, you know, thumping into challenges and, you know, thumping the badge and going up for high balls and all that kind of stuff. But to me, bravery is, now we're going to play our game. You know, we're going to make sure we don't get dragged into that kind of game, because that suits you. We still have faith in our system. We still have faith in the way that we pass the ball. And that's what we didn't do at the weekend. We tried to, or we allowed rather, Hart to turn it into the kind of game that they wanted. And that was what disappointed me. So it is about the bottle and the belief to say, no, actually, you know what? We are comfortable doing what we do. The great teams do that. And if you look at Liverpool played their game every week. City, when, you know, the last two seasons, City played their game every single week. It's about having the bottle to say, even when things aren't going well for a spell in a game, to say, nope, we know that what we're doing is right, and we know that we'll get there if we persevere with it. And the youngsters have to have that faith, and they have to have that belief. And they also have to have the trust in A, the manager, that he knows what he's doing, and B, each other, that it'll come off. And that's when you need your experience then. And that's where Rangers, I think, at the weekend, Charlie, really missed the likes of James Tavernier and Alfie. Because I think they're the guys that the other players look to and say, right, and take the lead from. It's a different type of leadership. It's not leadership in the sense of, as I say, screaming and bawling. It's a leadership of, give me the ball, always showing for the ball. That's what the rest of the team need to aspire to.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to talk about the end of that January transfer window. There's two games for us to look at, Aberdeen and Hibs next. And maybe there has been no signings, but is it any regrets for Rangers? Love Sport. You're listening to the Glasgow Rangers fan show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm still joined by my brilliant co-host, David Edgar, talking everything where Rangers are concerned. And remember, this is the platform to have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can put a question to me or David and have your say on the team so far. Well, David, you mentioned there that talking about the market, obviously, potential injuries, there hasn't been much movement. There wasn't much movement last year. Is this a case of that, you know, we're willing Rangers on, we know how big this season is and how big the last few years have been. Is there a case of that, maybe it's just me, I don't want to get to the end of the season and look back and say this was an opportunity missed?
No, you're not the only one. And that is definitely a thing that I'm hearing a lot from my friends, from the people I go to games with. I'm thinking myself, never mind. Because you're right, we do have an opportunity here. And if we were to get to the end of the season, as you say, and just look back and go with a couple of bodies coming in, have freshened the place up, have boosted it. Against that, though, is the reality of the financial implication. Your Rangers have invested heavily last summer. We are running at a loss. You know, the losses are being covered by the directors. So I do get that. I think that there's a hope that you can wheel and deal a bit, because some players have gone out. So as a football fan, you're always hopeful that if a few go out, then maybe a few can come in. I don't think Rangers fans would be unhappy to see, you know, four or five go out and maybe only one or two come in. I do think we'll do some business. I think we'll get a couple in, but no more than that. But yeah, just to freshen the place up, give the manager a couple of extra options, reinvigorate the fans. Everyone loves a new player. I think it just boosts everyone, and you're spot on. I really don't want to be in May and go, if only we'd had that one extra player.
Yeah, it's look, we don't know. We always think the grass is greener, but there's such a sense of what can be achieved here. And obviously, it doesn't hang on that, David. We know that. But everyone always from that outside Rangers bubble bemoans the lack of squad depth, and maybe that's what the rivals have on Rangers. And it is a case of a few bodies, and that doesn't always guarantee wins and trophies, but just a little bit. When we are seeing that, the potential of an injury tonight or the Morella suspension, those players that can come in and we're not seeing them, you know, when we go, well, they haven't taken that opportunity, you know, to the detriment of their Rangers career, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of rumours about a couple of French players, Brandon Barker and Jordan Jones, who were on the bench tonight, and in fact Jones came on. There are rumours that they are already 6 months into their Rangers career surplus to requirements, and Rangers are looking to ship them out the door. And that will happen at where we are shopping, Charlie, you know. You're not exactly always getting the best options, so there will be times you get a deal wrong, and in this instance, I think that both of those haven't quite worked out. In the case of Barker, he looks an odd sign, and I don't quite know what he was expected to bring. Jones is showing some good form, so I assume that's more something that's going on that we can't see from the outside. And you nailed it for me there when you said that it's Rangers have got this, I think, a really good 14, 15, maybe 16-man nucleus of players, and then there's quite a drop. And I think that is a legitimate thing to say, whereas perhaps Celtic do have a little more strength and depth because they've been accumulating players for longer than we have, and of course they have more finances, they have more resources. So you would expect them to be a bit ahead of us in that regard. And we need then a bit of luck with injuries. We need guys to maybe play a few more games than perhaps in an ideal world that they would. I'd put our first 11 and strongest bench up against any team in Scotland. They've proven it, you know, time after time. They've proven it against Celtic, proven it in Europe. But once we do get two or three injuries to key players, then yeah, I think it is a legit thing to say the drop in quality is large. But that is going to happen. You've got Ryan Kent at £7 million. The guy behind him is Brandon Barker. You know, he was a free transfer from Manchester Academy, where he didn't make it, he'd been out and loan. So there is going to be that drop, but it's something we'll arrest in time. But where we are right now, there is that slight concern that the fringe players maybe aren't quite up to it. And what I think Rangers are realising is that there's no point having fringe players that can't come in, because then why are they there? It's all right saying they're here as backup, but if you're afraid to play them when the time comes, then they're no use as backup, are they?
Mate, I completely agree, David. I always enjoy chatting with you. Is Aberdeen and Hibs next? Both games at home, though. Maybe that's what Rangers are looking for as well. Just quickly on those two, what are you expecting?
2-0 and 3-1. They're both being, Aberdeen's always a big game, and it's a Saturday 3 o'clock. The fans despise each other. And Aberdeen like to pretend it's a big rivalry. It's not really. It's a bit like Manchester United and Stockport. It's a lot bigger for one side of it than it is for the other. But they'll bring a large support. I'd be fairly confident going into these two games, because neither of these sides have been playing particularly well. I think that Aberdeen will just come and park the bus. I don't think it'll be an exciting game. Hibs, I think, might be a decent game, because under Jack Willis, they are showing signs of life. But I'd be comfortable that Rangers will go out and do the business in these two matches.
Yeah, absolutely. And then hopefully they can start another unbeaten run and start to fire on all cylinders and work through the gears. Like you said, they have started a bit slow, because next month, David, me and you on this show, it's going to get very, very entertaining. I think they have a run of 9 or 10 matches in 30 days. But obviously the Europa League will be returning. David, always appreciate you coming on, especially as you're doing it later, much later than when the show is meant to be. So really appreciate that. David Egger there. Make sure you check him out at Ibrox Rocks and the Heart and Hand podcast. Well, this has been your Rangers fan show with me, Charlie Hawkins, and David Edgar. Make sure you join us at the same time next week, 10:30 to 11, every Wednesday on Love Sport Radio. You know what? I think Tina should play us out.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.